Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we have a fourth straight Packers victory to talk about, and without question, the most dramatic of the four.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. When you talk about the most dramatic wins the Packers have had this season, and just in terms of the emotions, it was sort of like an old boxing match. I mean, the Packers... They kind of won rounds one and three, and the Bears sort of took the second one, and it was going to be sort of this knockdown, drag-out slugfest to end it. And fortunately for the Green Bay Packers, Mason Crosby kicking that tire was able to get the 32-yard field goal. Jordy Nelson, Aaron Rodgers with one of the best, you know, connections of their career was enough to hold off the Bears.
Yeah, and just amazing in the sense that as the Packers get the ball there with just over a minute left on the clock, they've blown a 17-point lead. It's gone from 27-10 to 27-27. Seemingly everything is going against them. They have absolutely no momentum, really, on either side of the ball. You're facing 3rd and 11 with less than a minute to go on the clock. The Bears have two timeouts. So you can't just concede and play overtime, because with them having timeouts, you know, they'll make you punt the ball and they'll have a chance to kick a field goal and beat you. So you have to try to get the first down. And Rodgers lets it fly. Jordy Nelson gets behind the cornerback. I'm not sure where the safety was.
Yeah.
I don't know how the safety in that situation lets any receiver get behind him. That was certainly a coverage bust on the part of the Bears. But give Jordy Nelson credit. A couple of plays earlier in the game, some deep balls down the sidelines that he probably should have caught. I'm sure he feels like he should have had them. But he came up with the big catch when it mattered most.
It was really important, I think, after the game when Jordy Nelson was addressing the media. He talked about how he sort of tuned everything out on that final drive. The missed opportunities for him and the offense. The cold weather, you know, the fifth coldest game in Soldier Field history since they'd been checking temperatures of games, 11 degrees at kickoff, -4 wind chill.
Yeah.
And everything was kind of, that's a gut check time. How many times have we talked about that the last 2 weeks? And this was a play, when you look at it, and I was, you know, I talked to Mason Crosby and these guys in the locker room. You know, Crosby said he didn't even really see what was going on. He knew that Rodgers had thrown it. He didn't know who the target was. But when you see Nelson come down with it, just the roar and an eruption from the Packers sideline. Nelson said afterwards, too, I mean, a lot of guys were just, you know, ranting and raving and excitement, but that wasn't the game-winning play. They needed to make the field goal, and he wasn't going to start to smile until Mason Crosby hit it through, but he came through twice. And really, when you're talking about the excitement of an NFL season and just the league in general, that game epitomized it to the max.
Yeah, for sure. And as I said before, the Packers seemingly had nothing going for them in the fourth quarter. The offense had gone 3 and out 2 times.
Right.
The Bears had had the ball 3 times, had scored a touchdown, then a second touchdown to get within 3. Arguably, the Packers really made only 3 plays in the entire fourth quarter. They got a run stop on 2nd and goal from the 4. They got the pass breakup by Micah Hyde at the goal line on 3rd and goal from the 4. And I'll be honest with you, I thought the Bears were just going to go for the touchdown.
Yeah.
At 3 and 10, you know, a chance to wreck the season of your arch rivals. I thought the Bears would go for the touchdown. They kicked the field goal. I thought that was, you know, potentially a break there for Green Bay. And then with the offense having not done anything since the third quarter, you hit the big pass, and now you walk out of Chicago, suddenly you're in control of the NFC North from your own perspective. The Packers beat the Vikings and the Lions the next 2 weeks. They're division champs.
Right, and I know there's a lot of talk radio down in Chicago that's kind of ripping on John Fox a little bit. I really didn't mind the call. You have to feel, if you're the Bears at that point in time, you just stopped the Packers twice on 3 and outs. Your offense is clicking. I think they felt that their odds were greater than 50-50 if they let the game play out, if they take it to overtime, rather than, you know, going for the 4th and goal play there from what would have been the 2, I believe, or
they're
3.
They're on the 4-yard line. Yeah, I don't think it was a no-brainer necessarily to go for the touchdown. What I'm saying is what I was feeling in the press box as things were unfolding. After the holding penalty, then when they got back inside the 5-yard line, it was 2nd and goal from the 4. In my mind, I thought, okay, they're taking 3 plays to score a touchdown. That's just the way I felt it was going. And, you know, Fox made the decision. There's arguments on both sides. I just was surprised at the decision that he made.
And I thought the big thing for the Packers, as Mike McCarthy sort of addressed after the game too, is they had to make a decision there. Do you try to play for the win there? You know, with no timeouts at that point, they burned them all. you know, kind of at the end of that drive.
Yeah, the Packers were using their timeouts on defense to try to preserve some time in case they did need to score. Because if the Bears score a touchdown, obviously the Packers need a touchdown going the other way to win.
So they had to make a decision with Rodgers dealing with the calf injury. You're back at your own 25. What do you do? Third and 11, you draw it up. And a remarkable play. And just all the factors that went into it are probably the most impressive to me in terms of, you know, you had the injuries to TJ Lang and Lane Taylor. You have different guards in there for a minute. Packers overcame a lot there. And Jordy Nelson flying underneath that ball from Rodgers. It was classic 87.
Yeah, for sure. And just another heroic by Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field. We saw 2013, 4th and 8 from the 48. All these kinds of things and playing through the calf injury and whatnot. But plenty more to break down from this dramatic win at Soldier Field. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, Aaron Rodgers playing through that calf injury was obviously limited in terms of his mobility, but I actually thought he had more mobility than I expected.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, he was able to get away from rushers a couple of times. Sometimes those free blitzers when, you know, somebody wasn't picked up, he really didn't have much of a chance. He had to take some sacks there rather than, you know, risk further injuring that calf, but really a gutty, gritty performance by Rodgers. And don't let the 87.0 passer rating fool you. I know it's his first game under 100 rating in a handful of ball games, but you know, he threw a couple of potential touchdown passes to Davante Adams that Adams unfortunately dropped and was obviously upset with himself for doing so. So statistically, you know, Rodgers' numbers could have and should have been better, but overall, quite a performance, I thought, by number 12.
Yeah, it was the ultimate testament to him. You know, there was the report swirling about, you know, how much is he going to be available. They brought up Joe Callahan as the emergency quarterback. They were taking all the necessary precautions. And as it turns out, Aaron Rodgers ends up going the distance all four quarters. Mike McCarthy said afterwards it was an exceptional performance by him to come out and play the way he did. And I thought you illustrated that really well in the column you wrote for Packers.com, in that this, again, is just another, it's a different version of it, but it's another example of the things that Rodgers can do.
Yeah.
And when the game's on the line, it wasn't quite the Hail Mary, but at the same time, to throw 60 yards in that weather and have it on the spot there. We'd seen a couple times in the game where they tried some deep connections, and for one reason or another, it didn't work out. When they needed it the most, Rodgers came through. And I just, when you look at this performance, it's not going to be one that you're going to be thinking of like the Randall Cobb play that got him into the playoffs in 13 or some of these other miraculous, you know, games that he's had. But this certainly ranks up there in one of the most defining moments of 2016.
Yeah, and the best news as far as the aftermath is Rodgers told reporters afterward he didn't feel like he came out any worse for wear as far as the calf was concerned. You know, the hits that he took on some of the sacks, you know, not really an issue. He's going to be dealing with the calf. You know, he's going to continue to have to deal with it for a while, just like he did in 2014. But from a bigger picture perspective on offense, boy, the Packers. Mike McCarthy last week declared officially that Ty Montgomery is a running back. And on Sunday, Ty Montgomery said he's the running back. This guy's performance was something else.
Yeah, I mean, 10.1 yards per carry, 16 carries for 162 yards. Almost cracked the top 10 for most single-game yardage in Packers history. Needed 165 to eclipse Jim Taylor for 10th. But every one of those yards was important. And I thought it was interesting, too. I asked TJ Lang about that in the locker room afterwards. And he said, you know, there were some plays where it didn't even feel like he had to block anybody. Montgomery just made things happen. And
yeah.
I don't know the exact number of forced broken tackles and all that, you know, kind of sabermetric next level statistics.
Right.
But from the naked eye watching that game, it was impressive. He did not go down on first contact hardly at all. Even if it was, maybe they weren't all 61 yard gains, but he took a lot of like 1 or 2 yard plays and stretched them out to 8 or 9. It was impressive.
Yeah, and there were even a couple where it looked like he was bottled up for a 3 or 4 yard loss in the backfield, and all of a sudden he's squirting out of there and making a positive play and perhaps a big play out of it. What impressed me the most was the combination of, you know, A, not going down on contact to power through some tackles, but then also to just flat out dodge tacklers and make them whiff, you know, where he's just making guys dive in the open field and he's, you know, kind of running circles around him out there. I mean, I was absolutely blown away by what he was able to do. You look at it, you know, the conditions. He's a guy who played his college football in California and all of that. And to come out there and had, you know, bust runs of 61, 36, 26 yards. I think I read that this was the most rushing yards by a Packers back in a regular season game in over a decade. I think 2005, Sam Congato had 170 plus maybe in a game. So just a great effort. And obviously the Packers needed it, but also a great sign going forward here as the Packers continue to build on this stretch run that they've got a feature running back.
Yeah, and that is another thing that Lang said too in the locker room afterwards, is they feel like they've been working towards this a little bit. Maybe not 226 rushing yards in a game, but being able to really establish themselves in that capacity. You got Kristen Michael had the 42-yard game as well for a touchdown, which ended up being a really big play for the Packers to hold off the Bears. But this is the thing they needed, not only just because of the weather, just because it's December and that's what you need to do, but when you look at Rodgers, when he had the collarbone injury in 2013, when he dealt with the calf injury in 2014, Eddie Lacy in the production of the run game was really paramount and really important to this offense.
You're absolutely right.
That's what they got out of this. And to double up the Bears, who came in with Jordan Howard in a really strong rushing attack, that's a good sign for them going forward now. And something that, as good as this felt, they need to duplicate it against another good run defense next week against Minnesota.
Yeah, and Minnesota will be coming into Lambeau Field reeling a bit, coming off of a 34-6 loss at home, a game that, you know, they really needed to win to try to stay in the playoff hunt. The Vikings aren't mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet, but another example of how just this league is week to week. The Indianapolis Colts lost a kind of a, you know, crappy game, I guess I might say, against the Houston Texans the previous week when they're fighting for a division title. Then they go to Minneapolis and blow out the Vikings when the Vikings were coming off of a win of their own. How this plays out with Packers-Vikings, we'll be talking about it all week, I'm sure.
Week-to-week league, and another reminder of that, too, is the Bears. I know they're 3-11 on the season. I know this hasn't gone the way John Fox wanted to, but the fact of the matter is, the last four losses they've had have been by a combined, I think, 18 points now, including a really impressive win over San Francisco. So it's been a challenging year for them. They've been decimated by injuries, but I thought it really showed a lot for a team that only has three wins to come back the way they did late and really make it such a contest after, really theoretically, after that last touchdown in the third quarter. Could have potentially been one that they could have just started to pack it in and call it a day.
Yeah, for sure. And the Bears definitely did not do that. But with that, we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz there. And Wes, on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers, I guess the best way you can describe it is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of game. In the first half, a strong start by the defense in the first quarter, some lapses in the second quarter, you end up going into halftime tied 10-10. Then in the third quarter, the Packers defense dominates the game. Julius Peppers gets a strip sack on the first offensive play by the Bears in the third quarter, sets up a field goal for the Packers offense. Then Ha-Ha Clinton Dix gets an interception, leads to a touchdown. Clinton Dix gets another interception, leads to a touchdown. And the Packers are up by 17 points. And then all of a sudden, everything turned on defense. And when the Bears couldn't do anything right in the third quarter, suddenly the Bears couldn't do anything wrong in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about probably the most dominant quarters of football the Packers have had this year, that third quarter against Chicago is going to be right up there. And the reason why the Packers ultimately won this game, the defense being able to generate those turnovers the first time since 2009, weeks 12 and 13, that they actually have back-to-back games of four or more takeaways, 10 takeaways over the last 2 weeks, did not give the ball away, another important part of this run that they've been on. But ultimately, you need to finish it. And I know Kyle Clinton Dix said it in the locker room too. I mean, maybe there was guys just getting a little too comfortable. They're late. But they rallied back. Micah Hyde made the play when they needed to make it. But I think the biggest thing for this Packers defense is being able to take what they did in that third quarter. And you're not always going to be able to get four consecutive turnovers, especially three of them in the third quarter that were be able to translate into points like they did.
Yeah.
But finding that consistency and trying to find the right matchups here, because, yeah, it's late in the season now. You got to dig down deep. And certainly with what the Packers have dealt with defensively injury-wise, they need guys to step up.
Yeah, some stuff to deal with there. We're seeing, obviously, an ineffective Clay Matthews, just not really able to make much of an impact out there with his shoulder injury. The pass rush was a bit hot and cold, and that definitely affected, you know, Matt Barkley, the quarterback for the Bears, being hot and cold.
Right.
The fourth quarter, it started to feel like the beginning of the Tennessee game, the end of the Washington game, where the defense just wasn't going to be able to resist. But the difference being that during those stretches against Tennessee and Washington, everything was a touchdown. And the difference was this time on that third drive in the fourth quarter, they got the stop inside the 5-yard line, made the Bears kick the field goal. And ultimately that's what gave the Packers a chance to save this one and not let it completely get away.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the big thing too. I mean, you look at it, they only had, I think, one quarterback hit, on Barkley. And then in addition to the strip sack that Julius Peppers had. So it's going to start with the pass rush.
Yeah.
And that's what was one of the things that they did so well in that win against Seattle, is you had Dean Lowry, Jaron Elliott, who also developed a hand injury in this game, Dayton Jones, those complimentary guys that you wrote about, stepping up into that place. Julius Peppers' sack is great. It was a huge turnover play, 25 now with the Green Bay Packers, his sack number.
Right.
So that's positive. But you really hope that, you know, even if Clay Matthews isn't going to be 100% until after the season is over, you could finally try to get him integrated a little bit more and maybe potentially get Nick Perry back, because that's the bread and butter of this unit. That's the starters for the Packers for a majority of the season, the reason why the defense was able to get the pressure they did for a lot of it.
Yeah, some things that need to be worked out. We saw Demaryius Randall at cornerback was pulled from the game. No official explanation given there, partly performance, maybe a matchup issue, whatever it might have been, but, you know, the secondary was struggling there until the very end. But it's also as you said, it starts with the pass rush. As we talk about a lot, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
When that pass rush isn't getting there and the quarterback is comfortable, it's a lot easier to make those throws.
It is. And one more thing, though, credit where credit is due. Haha, Clinton Dix, second 2-interception performance game of the season for him. Morgan Burnett was talking about this afterwards. The sign of a really good free safety is guys who can make plays and also be in the right place at the right time. And when there is an overthrow, make an offense pay for it. Clinton Dix has done an exceptional job at that this season. Matt Barkley, too, really, he didn't have a lot of overthrows in this game, but when he did have him across the middle, Clinton Dix made him pay for it.
Yeah, both of those really were carbon copies of the interception against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That was a big play in the Packers' Monday night win there. So for sure. But before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, just to recap now exactly where the Packers sit in the playoff picture. Packers beat the Bears and the Lions lost to the Giants, which is what Green Bay was hoping for. So now Detroit is 9-5. The Packers are 8-6. The Packers, if they win their last two games and finish 10-6, Detroit, regardless of what they do against Dallas next week, Detroit would be 10-6 at best by losing to the Packers, and the Packers would have a head-to-head sweep over the Lions and therefore be division champs. So that's why we say the Packers are now in control of their own destiny. Of course, the Lions are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because the Lions are saying, hey, if we beat, you know, essentially the Lions are saying, regardless of whether they beat the Cowboys, if they can beat the Packers at home at Ford Field in Week 17, they will be the division champs. So they've got the destiny sort of scenario on their side as well.
I want to meet whoever the schedule maker is that figures out the NFC North finale every year.
Yeah, how has this worked?
Always implications.
I know,
and it's been
something
with Minnesota. It's been with Chicago. It's been with Detroit. It's crazy how the situation has unfolded. But once again, we're in a situation where that Week 17 matchup weighs heavily over this playoff race. The thing that's funny, the most that I just find hilarious, a week ago the Packers beat Seattle, got no help whatsoever.
Right.
And then this week, we have to see what happens with Washington at the time we're taping this, but everything went their direction with how the NFC games played out. So a lot of football left to be played, but, I mean, the Packers did themselves a big service in winning this game. Now kind of sitting pretty here a little bit. Not pretty, but it's sitting in command. Once again, not needing any more help if they can just win the games that are in front of them.
Right, that's the thing, is the Packers don't need any more help. But before we get to that Week 17 game, the Packers need to take care of business
Absolutely.
Against the Vikings because, you know, here's the flip side of the scenario. If Minnesota comes into Lambeau Field and beats the Packers, then the Lions take the field on Monday night against the Cowboys saying, hey, we win this game, we win the division. They would clinch it, and then the Week 17 game doesn't mean anything for Detroit, and they know that they're in the playoffs. So Packers need to take care of business, get this winning streak to 5 games, and put it all on the line in Week 17.
And that's all they asked for.
Yep.
When they were down to 4-6, when everything was going against them, they just wanted a chance to win the division, a chance to get back in the playoffs. 4 consecutive wins, they've done that. Now you just need to take care of business down this final stretch.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a fun final couple weeks here in Green Bay, but we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.